Happy New Year! It is Advent 1, the beginning of a new liturgical year. And the wisdom of our liturgical calendar has us begin our year with a season of preparation. Each of our diurnal centers of our liturgical calendar, which is a fancy way of saying Christmas and Easter, have us enter a rhythm of preparation with Advent and Lent, celebration with Christmas and Easter, and incorporation with Epiphany and Pentecost. So as we begin this year, we begin in Advent. And the gospel reading from Matthew has this passage that starts off the year about the end of times. As Reverend Rachel said last week, our beginnings will be our endings, and our endings will be our beginnings. And I think she was paraphrasing T.S. Eliot, but didn't attribute the quote to not make us feel lacking. So this end times passage is what I call a dangerous gospel, because it tempts us to read the gospel with our own popular imagination. Jesus commands us to stay awake and be alert. We do not know when Jesus will be coming again. He's not trying to talk us out of a turkey-induced nap. He's talking about the end times. He's telling us to pay attention. The world is coming to an end, and we need to get ready. Now, this passage has been the source of inspiration for many popular movies and songs and comic books. But I would like to label those as fan fiction rather than biblically based. And that's why this passage is dangerous, because we read it and let our culture and history shape our interpretation. Two men in a field and one disappears. What's that, like a UFO tractor beam sucking them up? Two women are milling grain and one disappears. Is it like Marty McFly's hand slowly disappearing? No, this is not the end times envisioned by Jesus. Let's take a closer look at the signs of the times of when the second coming will happen. Two will be in a field, one will be left behind. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left behind. The second coming doesn't happen after cultic leaders begin to dominate global politics. It doesn't happen after secret numbers and marks of the beast are distributed to the people. It doesn't happen after wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. But the second coming happens in the daily tasks that we are each called to do in our life. These simple chores, these acts of taking care of one another, really, if you think about it. They're out in the field harvesting. They're in their homes grinding meal, preparing food for their families and community. That's when Christ comes and appears. That's the second coming of Christ, when we have that connection with people in our everyday rhythm of life. The Old Testament passage that we read this morning also affirms this. We read in Isaiah, calls us to walk in the ways of the Lord, to follow God's light. And how do we do that? By turning our swords into plowshares, by turning our spears into tools of cultivation and harvest, replacing our teachings of war with teachings of peace, replacing our exploitative practices with practices of caring and provision. Now, don't be fooled to interpret this passage too literally. We're not just talking about guns and wars that happen in faraway lands. This, too, is metaphorical. The prophet Isaiah is calling us to turn our own tools of division and distraction and turn them into plowshares. What kind of tools do we harbor in our daily lives that distract us from God's peace in the world? Perhaps it's humor. Sarcasm comes from the Latin to cut the flesh. Perhaps it's a fastidious nature about bylaws and budgets. Perhaps it's clinging too tightly to loved traditions or chasing after the latest trend. Or a sense of our own self-security and dignity. None of these things are inherently bad, but when they're used as a weapon of war that causes division, it's not pointing in the path of the Lord. Instead, we're called by Advent and Isaiah to transform these tools into tools of community building and peace, tools that connect us to one another and offer care for one another. And our Advent season is a season for such reflection, that we can learn new rhythms of life, that we can adapt and modify these tools of our daily living to turn them into tools of connection and caring, tools where we can provide for one another. That's the second coming of Christ. When we provide for one another, we're taking care of Christ in the world. Do you remember this quote that Jesus gives us, that what you did unto the least of these, you did unto me? You remember Jesus saying that? Yeah, someone, Ned, hot, stay awake. Where does that quote come from? Anybody know? Any some good EFM students? Matthew 25. Where was the reading today from? Matthew 24. These are hand in hand. The gospel that Jesus is telling us today about the imminent coming of the closeness of Christ is the fact that Christ is here with us every moment of our lives if we only have eyes to see and hearts open, ready to receive. When Christ says, you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me, that's when Christ comes. That's the second coming, when we can look at the other person and see them as Christ's own beloved. Then they are the flesh of Christ entering our life. And when we care for them as God cares for each and every one of us, for you and for me, that's when we enflesh the love of Christ and Christ is in the world again. When we pray the Eucharistic prayer and we say that Trisagion, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, that's about us. That's not a far-off distant prophecy. That's not a far-off distant promise. That's about how we live our daily life, that Christ will come again in our hearts, in our hands, in our world, right here, right now. Can you feel it? That's Christmas. That's the incarnation that we are given. Are you ready for that kind of Christmas? No, we never are. We're helpless humans. That's why we do this every Sunday. Don't, some of you are like, yeah, I'm ready for that Christmas. I'm glad you were with me, but we're going deeper. That's the gift of Advent. It's a whole season to get ready. It's a season of preparation that calls on us to reflect, to learn new habits and practices, to enter into that kind of rhythm, to learn that way of living a daily life where we can always hold out that hope, hold out that light of Christ, to let it shine in us, and that we might be awake to see it in other people. I don't know which one is more challenging. At times, it can be either one. God's kingdom is a kingdom where love reigns, where we care for one another, where we teach peace and not war, where we unite with food instead of dividing with the sword. It's completely countercultural. It will take some time for us to adapt. We must learn all these new rhythms, and we must do that hard work of self-reflection, and then do the even harder work of asking our neighbors and those around us to help us transform our swords into plowshares, help us to create connection and meaning in our life and the daily rhythms of our life. Advent calls us to this practice, to pay attention, to be present to this moment, to be alert lest we be swept away by the flood. It's hard work. It'll take some time. It's a month-long journey. And Jesus is already present for our journey in every moment. So have a blessed Advent. Amen.